Yeah.
Ooh.
Hey, Co, we need to go again?
I do need to clap in again. I'm sorry. My hand hit my forearm, and it was a really bad clap. And that's why I'm trying not to laugh. I'm so sorry.
How do you miss on a clap?
Listen, it happens, okay?
I don't know. I'm tired. Welcome back to D Plus Students. I'm Dakota.
I'm Andy.
I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
This week, we are reviewing
A Ring of Endless Light.
That's right. What's that, you ask? You don't remember it? I think a lot of people don't.
I do not.
Really?
No, I've never even heard of this movie, outside of like us talking about it previously.
Okay.
I have a theory.
Yes, Lord Aaron.
No.
Poster.
Don't do that. Oh, God.
The poster, we see a part of a man's torso swimming, and there's a dolphin behind him, and there appears to be a lady swimming even behind the dolphin, and they are swimming towards what seems to be a light at the bottom of the pool. And I supposit that this is a spiritual sequel to The 13th Year. Also, the main character in this is apparently his name is Ryan Merman.
Ryan Merriman, and yes, he was also The 13th Year. No, he wasn't. He wasn't.
He was Luck of the Irish.
God damn it. Those three movies keep fucking me up.
They're all the same guy, basically.
Honestly, they all look the same.
He's Leprechaun on his mother's side. He's part dolphin on his dad's side.
Okay.
All coming together.
So, Aaron, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you don't know anything about this movie. You've never seen this.
I have not, no.
What do you mean? He summed it up so perfectly.
If that's not the movie, I don't want to watch this.
I've probably never watched it. I know it's a book, right?
Yes, it is. And Chris, what about you?
Never seen this.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. From the author of the bestseller A Wrinkle in Time. Look at that. It says it right on the poster.
Madeline L'Engle wrote A Wrinkle in Time, also wrote A Ring of Endless Light. A Ring of Endless Light is one of the books that I, see, here's the thing. I didn't have a lot of friends in like elementary school, and I read a lot, and I was on a higher reading level than like my age, pretty common. And this was one of those books that I read. So I remember it being pretty formative. I don't know if it's like, if it's too young now, if it was too old for the time, I remember there being a little bit of flirting, and I was like, oh, what is this? I specifically remember being like, oh, okay. But I bet if I read it now, I'd be like, this is a kid's book. as I should, right? This probably is a kid's story. But anyway, I do remember that. And I don't remember if I liked or disliked this movie. I remember being hyped to watch it. And then I couldn't tell you if I liked it or don't, so that means I probably didn't. especially because the book is, like, the fucking best. Highly recommend this if you haven't read the book. I say that, and, like, I haven't read the book in 20 years, probably, so maybe I should go back and reread it. But really recommend that. Really loved that. Also, we were talking about Ryan Merriman, but this has Misha Barton.
Yeah, Misha Barton is the girl swimming in the background, yeah. Mm-hmm. Unless it's the dolphin.
And what would I know her from?
She's from the OC.
Yeah, Crickets. See, not something that would be on my radar.
You don't know what the OC is?
Well, see, I never watched any of those shows either, but I know the name. Misha Barton's very famous.
She was in like the news a lot for like her troubled like young adult life too, I think.
Sure.
Like drugs and stuff?
I think so.
Is the OC the one with Adam Brody?
Yeah.
Okay. He left Gilmore Girls to go and do The OC.
I know, and I'll never forget him for it.
And who would I know Adam Brody from?
Gilmore Girls. He was Lane's boyfriend.
Dean?
He's married to Leighton Meester now.
Yeah.
Blair Waldorf from Gossip Girl.
And who is that?
You know who that is.
No, I know who most of these people are.
Wow.
Oh, okay, good.
I know none of this stuff, so.
Yeah. Aaron knows more about these shows than I do.
He did a lot of, like, teen shows like that, I think.
Mm. But did he do a Ring of Endless Light, you know?
I don't think so.
Right? Guys, we got off topic.
I tried to bring it back. I tried.
It was a valiant effort.
You know?
So, A Ring of Endless Light was a book by Madeline L'Engle. Is a book by Madeline L'Engle. Not as famous as A Wrinkle in Time. Basically, no one had ever heard of the book. And then they decided to make a movie out of it. And I don't really know why. And it does involve dolphins, which is also... I was a dolphin girl. Like, I think we've talked about this before, that I was not horse girl.
Well, yeah, you were a beachy person girl.
I was dolphin girl. So maybe this is also why I really liked this book. It's coming together now. Anyway.
I have another theory that... and Dakota, this is controversial for her. That a dolphin girl is basically just a horse girl.
But in the water.
Right. You trade boots for flip-flops, but they are effectively the same.
It's the exact same thing. I agree.
I don't like that.
I can get behind that.
I'm glad this is settled.
Andy, what kind of girl were you?
I was the tomboy. I don't know. I mean, that sounds like a cop-out to say that I don't know, but like...
But horse girls are kind of... tomboys.
I did ride horses, but I didn't like go ride horses. I just was in
the horses
world.
Came to you.
I was that kind of horse girl. I was the horse whisperer, a la Ready to Run.
Oh my god!
And they just
yes.
came to me seeking advice every once in a while.
I knew I was friends with you for a reason.
No, I don't know. Chris,
Dakota was a dolphin.
I think
you
I was
a horse
awkward
girl.
Tomboy. Does that sound accurate to you, Chris, as far as you know from me?
I could see it. I feel like you weren't awkward, though. I don't know if awkward's the right word. I have no other words for you, though.
Thanks.
That's all I can give you.
I wasn't ever described as awkward. Intense was a word I got a lot.
Is that not just awkward in a nicer way?
I feel like intense sounds worse for some reason.
It is worse. It was a very love me or hate me time.
So, Chris, what were you like in your younger years? What was your thing?
You know, being a bad bitch as per usual. Nothing's changed. No, I was a quiet kid back then, I feel like. Also not changed. I'm up to myself. I'm an individualist. I stick to myself. I find myself hilarious. And that's all that really matters.
And I think I've said this on the podcast before, but that's how Chris and I became friends. We were in the same gym class, and we couldn't find literally anybody else that we wanted to talk to.
I was like, I guess it's us now.
So we were like, it's either talk to each other or we're silent for like an hour and a half, and we're not doing that.
Yeah. Now here we are, too many years later.
Statue of Limitations is probably out on this, but my middle school career was spent skipping class, and me and my best friend Ben would hide in the bathrooms and like play wall ball on the cement walls. That's what we did.
Sometimes it's a wonder that my husband graduated. Not for lack of being smart, just for lack of
caring.
It surprises no one more than me.
Do you know what I hope I'm surprised by? I hope I'm surprised by A Ring of Endless Light.
A Ring of Endless Light.
Oh god.
Because to be honest, I'm not looking forward to watching this.
Yeah, I feel like this, even though I know it's based off a book and they look happy-ish on the on the poster, I think this is also one of those things where, like, it falls into the it might be too serious for me category, where I'm like, I want something silly when I watch my DCOMs. And sometimes if they hit too close to home, I'm like, why did I want to do that? No, thank you.
Yeah.
It's not silly. And also, there is the ever-present fear that I have that an animal is going to die. So
great. Oh my God. Can't wait.
Yay.
So is this Free Willy with dolphins? Is that what we're doing?
Well, I think on that note, we should go watch it. And then, Aaron, that'll be the question you answer when we return.
Sure.
How Free Willy-ish was it? 1 out of 10.
1 out of 10. All right. So we're going to take a break. We're going to watch A Ring of Endless Light, and we'll be right back.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey guys, it's me, Andy, dropping in as always to say thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of D Plus Students as we talk about A Ring of Endless Light. This is kind of a weird episode, but we hope you guys dig it. It definitely gets away from us at some point, but we had a good time and I hope that you do too. As always, I want to say thank you to our friend Mike Rogers for the creation and use of our theme song, as well as Rue for our artwork. Rue can be found on Instagram at the handle @RuetBeer. That's RuetBeer. We can also be found on Instagram if you are so inclined. We are at DPlusStudents. That's DPlusStudents. Now, short and sweet today, since you may have noticed I'm a little behind schedule. The song you're about to hear is the end credits scene from The Ring of Endless Light. It's kind of the theme that plays throughout the movie. It's a little upbeat, it's a little twangy. I hope you guys enjoy it. And without further ado, I'll let you get back to the rest of the episode.
We're back from the break, and we're here to review A Ring of Endless Light, and we all watched the movie, and we all, I'm sure, have thoughts and opinions. My number one thought and opinion, it's not the book, and we'll get to it.
I was wondering that.
Let's get into it. So who is going to do our review?
I wonder.
I think it should be Chris.
I thought we agreed beforehand that Chris and Dakota were going to tag team this.
What?
Did the call drop? I can't hear anyone. I was clapping my forearm, I swear. I didn't hear it.
I don't remember what happens. Okay, it's...
this book / movie only defined your entire adolescence. That's fine.
It's been a week since I watched this. Okay. Am I doing it? Is that real? Okay.
Is this real
life? I'm kind
of
just not volunteering and seeing what happens because y'all are lost.
If we're ready for it to be messy, we open on a dream sequence. And Vicky,
oh, wait,
she's the
was that
protagonist.
A dream?
Aaron, I swear to God.
The whole movie was a dream, no?
Oh, yeah.
Spoiler.
Definitely. Okay. Oops.
Leprechaun-induced a dream.
Aaron, why don't you say what the movie's about?
Yeah, all right. So we open up, and there's like a massive gunfight happening in the ocean. It's the mer people versus the leprechauns.
I would pay money for that movie.
Is Timothy Omenson back? That's all I care about.
Yes.
We're in Lake Erie.
It's like, yes, he's back, but it's like the beginning of Suicide Squad.
Oh, no.
And it was a dream sequence, everyone. No.
Hey, Coda, why don't you go ahead and take it?
Okay. We open up on a dream sequence, and the protagonist, Vicky, sees stuff happening, and it's very like dreamy, and we think that we're underwater, and she sees like a light, and I believe she sees dolphins, or she's like getting the impression of being underwater and the impression of these dolphins. We open up and she is on a boat, like a ferry heading to an island, and once she gets to the island, she's there with her brother and sister, and you can obviously tell that they are meeting their grandfather, And it looks to be kind of a situation where, like, they're going to spend the summer with Grandpa. There are no other adults. The parents do get mentioned a couple of times throughout the film, but we don't ever see the parents, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe at the end. The first thing that is different than the book. But anyway, so Grandfather pulls up, and you can tell that he's kind of like a quirky old man, and he drives a Volkswagen, and the sister is trying to carry a telescope off the ferry. And you can just tell that this is a very, like, unusual kind of family. It's not your typical, like, summer vacation. And Vicky is staring off into the distance, very dreamy. And the sister makes a comment about how she's having, or maybe the brother does, how, you know, Vicky's in one of her daydreams. And Grandfather kind of seems to be the only person that really pays attention to that and, like, sees it as something constructive and not just Vicky with her head in the clouds. So they get back to Grandfather's house, and
I think they get back to Grandpa's house, and Vicky's on the phone with her parents, I think. And we find out that her parents are kind of, like, a little bit overbearing and pushing, like, studies on their children. And so she winds up kind of, like, spending the night reading a chemistry book or some sort of science book. And her grandpa, like, interrupts her and brings out a telescope. And they go and look at the stars together.
Yes, and the grandfather also references her poems and her writing several times. And Vicky and her grandfather have one of a couple of conversations. It's a little bit hard to kind of remember exactly where some of these conversations fit in the movie, because they have a couple of kind of poignant conversations about Vicky and her future and what she's interested in versus what other people are interested in. And some of them kind of, they really could have fit at several different places in the movie, so I'm not exactly sure. But you get the sense that Grandfather is one of the only people that's supportive of her writing, and he actually has, like, kept her writings over the years as well. How do we get to the dolphin?
I think we move into the next day, and that's where we meet Ryan Merriman, who I think his character's name is Adam. And Adam and the younger daughter, or the younger sister, kind of are, like, talking, like, Brainiac talk to each other. And the younger sister tags along with Adam to go see the dolphins. And
Yes, that's right. Because he's just like, oh, are you interested in dolphins? Come with me during my actual job in science experiments, which does not line up with the way that should happen. But yeah, okay.
Vicky tags along with them as well because she wants to see some dolphins. And I think that's when they run into Dean from Gilmore Girls.
Zachary Gray.
Yes, Zachary, Jared Padalecki from Gilmore Girls. And we fought that too.
It's very confusing that his name is Dean on Gilmore Girls and then the other one's name is Dean on Supernatural. It was very confusing. Anyway, okay.
I might refer to him as Dean throughout this episode, and I'm so sorry.
I did as well. His name is Zachary.
Zachary. And we find out that him and Vicky kind of had a thing last summer, it seems. And
he ghosted her.
He ghosted her. And then they go off to the dolphins and they go see some dolphins.
And I think this is where, is this where he brings out the echolocation and he's talking about the mate of the other dolphin? There's one dolphin that is pregnant and is in captivity and that they're studying. And then there is the other dolphin, Basil, who is the mate of that dolphin, who is not currently as part of the habitat, but they're being really kind to the dolphins and, like, also doing a couple of experiments on these wild dolphins to see if, like, they can get Basil to come when the dolphin is ready to give birth. And it's at that point in time that Vicky, like, obviously, she looks into the eye of the dolphin. It was very strange. She looks into the eye of the dolphin and it's like they share a connection. And she just kind of knows what they're thinking. And she knows that they want to play, and she knows that they're bored of that, and she knows that they want to show her something, and she can just get a good sense of, like, what's going on with the dolphins. I mean, her and Adam have a couple of, like, intense conversations just about, like, why would the dolphins, who were once land mammals, decide to go back into the ocean, and, like, she gets an overwhelming sense that it's because they're freer there. And it's just, you can just tell that Vicky is, can I say this? if she wasn't hot by like movie standards or whatever, she would kind of be like the weird kid, but she's pretty, so it's fine. So yeah, so she has the dolphin encounter.
Mm-hmm. And during that dolphin encounter, they notice that the dolphin has like a scar on it. And Adam kind of says that it's probably from nets that are used to capture fish that are banned in the water where they're from.
Yeah, the drift nets.
Drift nets, yeah. And he says it's due to one of the fishing people there. It's one of the bigger ones. I don't remember the name of the group, but he said it's probably them because they're the ones who are always coming back with a lot of fish when everyone else is coming back and saying like, oh, it's really tough to catch fish these days.
And it's really dangerous because the dolphins or other animals can get caught in them and then they get drugged down and then they die before they can like get back up to water, right? Mm-hmm. So, or get back up to air. So we have the dolphin encounter and then somehow we meet back up with Zachary. I don't remember.
Zachary keeps like hounding Vicky, trying to like get back in her good graces. And he keeps like telling her he's sorry he didn't write over the summer and that like he really missed her. And just laying down a whole bunch of lines and she's not buying it at first. And then he says that his mom passed away. Mm-hmm. And it kind of gets that sympathy vote and she feels bad for giving him a hard time. So then he like starts taking her out on dates and stuff again.
They go to the beach, right? And
yeah. She's on the beach with Zachary talking, and then they realize that the brother is drowning.
Yes. And she has, and she realizes it because she, like, gets the vibe from the dolphins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then she has to run in and rescue him, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the dolphins actually save him. So she can't find them. She's freaking out. Obviously, she knows he's missing, and then, like, she looks back on shore, and he's been, like, kind of deposited at, like, the top of the beach, and he's like, how did I get here? And she's, like, has that psychic revelation, like, the dolphin saved you for me, because they knew I was scared for you.
Right, because everything revolves around Vicky. So, so then Zachary starts taking Vicky out on dates. At one point, Zachary even notices that there might be some flirtation with Adam, and so he invites him out on a date with them. And then Adam makes some comments about the drift nets and about his family and about how it's Zachary's family that is owning these boats that are doing the drift nets. And then they're like, they hatch this brilliant idea to try to catch them in the act. And then they all go down to the marina, and they're snooping around on a boat. Vicky keeps watch. That's a terrible.
Yeah,
anyway,
not very well.
But why they made her keep watch, I don't know.
So they could have gossipy boy time,
I guess. they go onto the boat together, and they're kind of poking around. So obviously, the guy who owns the boat or is operating the boat sees the lights, sees what's happening. Tries to, you know, shout out, hey, who's down there? Zachary pops up and he's like, oh, it's just me, rich kid Zachary. I can be wherever I want. And the guy's like, why are you here? And he's like, oh, just showing some friends around, you know, and like you get the air that he's rich so he can do whatever he wants. And so the guy is skeptical and kind of tells them that, you know, they need to head on home. And during that time, Adam confirms that the drift nets were not there.
They were there.
They don't have.
They were there. Yeah, they were there.
Were they?
They were. There was something there that
he found
to
the buoys.
Fact. Yeah,
the drift newts were there.
Newts.
yeah, well, they weren't there, and they didn't have the evidence.
No they were there, mm-hmm. And Adam found them under a tarp, but because they got chewed off the boat, they couldn't like prove it. So they went to the harbor master to say, hey, we saw the drift nets. So like the next morning, the harbor master goes out to inspect the boat, and they're not there anymore.
Thanks for the clarification. Yes.
And the harbor master says, even if they were there, there's nothing he could do. It's only illegal if they're caught using the drift nets.
Right. Caught in the act.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Okay. Then what? At some point, there's a speedboat chase.
So I know that Dean, Zachary, he has a conversation with his dad over, like, lunch one day where his dad was told that he was basically told that, like, Zach was there the night before, and he figures out that he's the reason why the Coast Guard or Harbor guy checked the boat to begin with, and he's like, do you not love, like, all of the nice things we have and all the houses we have and everything? Are you trying to ruin that?
I'm able to do that through illegal activity, Zachary.
So. Yeah.
So calm your ass down, Jesus.
So keep quiet. But yeah, so Zachary figures out what his dad's doing, and it's not legal, and he's kind of becoming conflicted.
Yes. And sprinkled in throughout this, I believe that Vicky's having several conversations with Grandfather. And then during their walks through town and the time that she's spending with him, several people, the harbor master, people in town, keep asking Grandfather, like, oh, how are you feeling today? How are you doing today? Are you doing better today? And she starts getting very suspicious, but not suspicious enough, because it takes several of these people to say something before she, like, really starts to figure out that obviously Grandfather is, like, really sick. And at one point in time, she helps him, and he eventually tells her that he's very ill, and you know, that she sees that he's taking this medicine, and it's apparent that they're here this whole summer. Normally they're only there for a couple of weeks at a time, but with Grandfather being sick, they're kind of there for a longer amount of time, even though they didn't know that he was sick at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And then also sprinkled out throughout this is interactions between Vicky and the dolphins. I know she goes with Adam, and it's when the dolphin is trying to give birth. And yeah. Vicky realizes that the dolphin will not give birth without the father, Basil. And so they let Basil in, and they have a dolphin baby together. So that happens, and then there's another situation where I think Adam's starting to realize that she has this, like, telepathic connection with the dolphins, so he's asking her to do certain things, like, make him jump and, like, do all this stuff, and she kind of has, like, she faints or something in the water and, like, starts to almost drown, and they drag her out of there. And she's, like, nervous to tell him what's happening, so she runs away before telling him.
Right, because she's convinced that the dolphins are trying to explain kind of that, the reason as to why they chose to go back and be dolphins, basically. And, like, just kind of, like, the way that their life is and what's important to them. But she has to die to know that, apparently.
Literally. And then we also see just the two relationships that Vicky's having with both Adam and Zachary. There's, like, a scene where they're all out to dinner, and Zachary's like, oh, come with me, we're gonna go here, and Adam's like, you guys go without me. And so I think they go to the beach. Zach and Vicky go to the beach together and have a nice time, and then we fast forward to, like, the nighttime, and Adam shows up outside of Vicky's window, and they have this dance on the beach together to some really weird slow R&B music.
And he talks about how he was trying to write her poetry but can't, or something.
Yeah, and that he's, like, jealous of her relationship with Zachary, and, like, he's into her, but he's just jealous of their connection as well.
And then there's the culmination of the Driftnet saga. Does she get a vibe from a doll? I don't remember how it happens. It ends up with her on a boat.
Yeah, so Enid gets stuck in one of the what is it?
Drift nets.
Drift nets, and she connects with Vicky to try to help her out. So her and Adam grab Zachary to drive them on a boat to try to save Enid. And so they drive out to where the boat is to try to save Enid. Vicky jumps in, and so does Adam. They successfully get Enid out of the drift net, but Adam gets stuck in it. And I think it's through the dolphins. The dolphins help him out. And there's this scene where he's, like, drowning, basically, and he sees the light, and the dolphins help him and bring him up to the water and save his life. And through that, they also tell the grandpa what they're going to do, and the grandpa goes to the harbor master guy, and they go together to catch the boat with the drift nets, and they successfully catch them.
That's right. And then Grandfather and Vicky have a brief conversation, I think, about how, about like what the day was. And then he says, you know, that he's like going into his room and he's had like a very exciting day.
And promptly dies.
Yep. Depressing.
Basically.
Yeah, Vicky goes to check on him in his room, like, in the middle of the night, and he's just, he's dying. And so they have, like, a heart-to-heart as he's dying. And I feel like he, like, basically tells her, like, make sure, like, to share your specialties with the world. Like, don't keep them hidden in. Like, share what makes right. you special with everyone.
Don't just do what your parents want you to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he dies.
Yeah.
He dies. We see scenes of all of the kids in the house just alone thinking about the grandpa dying. Vicky has a moment with her younger brother where they talk about people without eyes. And, like, if you don't have eyes, do you... I don't know. That was a confusing
conversation. It's like they tried really hard to do an allegory for heaven without mentioning anything religious, even though, like,
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of religious undertone in this movie. They're like, we can't yeah. say that right now. So mm-hmm. here's a weird allegory about maybe when you die, you gain a new power or sense,
mm-hmm.
and everything is better for you. It's really strange.
Oh, and there's this really... So when he dies, there's a sweet thing where his wife, I think, was, like, really into stars, and she's no longer here. And there's, like, a certain star in the sky that the grandpa's always saying that's his wife. And when he finally dies, another star...
Are you thinking of the Princess and the Frog?
because this happened in this movie, and I was like, this is the Princess and the Frog.
Did this happen in this movie? I don't remember this happening.
This,
Chris, are you okay?
All right, so here's the thing. This definitely did happen. I will confirm it, but I was also under the influence. So if this didn't happen, then
Grandpa
no.
died and you turned on Princess and the Frog and you didn't realize that it was a different movie.
I'm dead pulling up Disney Plus right now.
I love you so much, Chris.
Oh my god.
If this doesn't happen, then we're cutting all of this out.
Only if you do the editing, my dude.
I mean, we're keeping this all in. All right, no, there's a star. I'm watching it. There's a star. The grandpa dies and they're panning out from the house right now. I'm watching it. And there's a really bright star in the sky. And there's a really dull one there, too.
Named Evangeline.
Named Evangeline. But the star gets brighter.
Okay.
Okay, so we're making fun of Chris for noticing details in the movie.
He was just hyper-focused, apparently.
This was not the movie to watch.
And then... I feel like it just ends. Like they're
so
like,
this is where we finally see the parents. The parents show up to get the kids. Yeah. They all run up to hug the parents and everything. They have a cute moment.
It did make it feel like it was several days between grandfather dying and
I hope those kids weren't in that house for days after their grandpa just died.
Vicky's only 14.
Yeah.
Real quick, what a shitty grandpa to be like, yeah, the kids can come stay with me all summer. It's going to be fine. And then he dies.
Oh no. What a shitty planner, God.
So it ends with them getting on the boat to leave to go back home, and Adam shows up to say goodbye to Vicky. And as they're saying goodbye, they have a sweet moment where she kisses him on the cheek before getting on the boat to leave. They wave goodbye in the end.
Well, and it's cute because, like, he says he'll write her.
So what we need to say, before we do that, we need to talk about something for a second. Can we just give a round of applause to Andy? Because this was a hot-ass mess.
It's a preemptive round of applause for what she's going to have to do.
Not only that, but her rundowns are always so nice and precise and great. Me and Chris, Dakota,
we did a great job.
We tried.
You did a very good job. You hit a lot of the notes.
We tried. And,
plus some extra
you know,
Disney magic in there for us, Chris. Thank you.
First of all, I'm sending you guys screenshots of the star in the sky. Just FYI.
It's going to be animated when it comes in.
It's going to have Ray in it by accident. Oops.
There's a gator in the background.
Yeah, right? Now I just want to watch Princess and the Frog.
Okay, yeah. So, I want to talk a little bit about the fashion. I definitely want to talk about how it's different than the book. And then some other observations. Does anyone want to start with anything they want to talk about the movie before I...
Well, I guess...
monopolize the conversation.
I guess just because I skipped doing my whole, like, I'll talk for 10-minute spiel up front, I'll do that now. I also want to share, because I think it's kind of surprising, I enjoyed this movie more than I thought I was going to, and that is in spite of the fact that all of the acting was terrible.
Oh, 100%. Yes.
The writing was terrible.
Well, I was actually like, these characters are cute. I don't mind it. I like the individual storylines, but just the acting was so bad. But I was like, actually, as someone that definitely had not seen this movie, obviously have not read the book, I was like, you know what? I can see where this is going, but I'm here for the ride and I'm enjoying it. And I kind of expected to tune out at that point. And I didn't. And I just find that kind of like surprising in a good way. I really liked seeing Ryan Merriman, even though he super phoned it in. I thought he was way more energetic in Luck of the Irish, a better actor.
Well, he was a leprechaun.
Well, yes, he was a leprechaun. This one was missing that leprechaun magic. He felt very monotone the entire time, but I thought like his storyline was kind of cute. I liked Zachary slash Dean slash Jared Padalecki. His character, I think, was the one that had the biggest arc, which is surprising, as, like, kind of a tertiary character.
I agree with that.
Like, first he's the shitty ghosting ex that's just like, I have money. Why don't you want to hang out with me, babe? What the fuck? and then he says his mom died, and I was fully expecting it to be, like, in the next scene we see his mom, and he's just an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
But that was not true. His mom did actually die. And then, like... he learns about the problems with the dolphins, and he's not, like, super empathetic about it, but he learns to care because he wants Vicky, and Vicky cares. So then he goes out of his way to, like, destroy his family business for this girl.
Literally.
And then, so we kind of missed this in the, or skipped over it in the recap, but, like, after... they save the dolphins from the drift net. They save Adam from the drift net. Again, Zach is the one driving the boat, and it's just the three of them, this awkward little pod. And he goes to, like, tie up the boat after getting them back to shore and, like, walks in on them holding hands. And he just kind of, like, looks shocked and then, like, sad and bows out. And that's literally the last scene he's in. So I was like, even though it's a very blunt ending for him, I was like, at least we don't see him try to, like, wheedle his way back in. I guess the meaning that's meant to be there is that, like, he accepts that he's not her choice and he bows out gracefully. But we just literally never see him again. And yeah, Vicky, I thought Vicky was very a cut and paste character. She was that kind of Twilight character where, like, she has zero personality, but stuff happens to her, so you can imprint on her really easily. And her acting was very bad. So sorry, Misha Barton. Every single sentence was very, I like dolphins. Maybe they were mermaids.
She had no emotion behind anything. Yeah. What was the mermaids in this movie?
She was the mermaid in this movie. And also, Ryan Merriman was Ryan Merman for like a 2 seconds. It was.
That was. Okay. So that was the scene where I was like, I am too.
You were out of commission for that.
Yeah.
So, I have a hot take.
Yes.
Apparently, in the original script, there were going to be voice actors who played the dolphins. But
what?
Unfortunately,
no.
Sinbad wasn't available to lend his vocal talents. So, they scrapped
you
the whole
played,
thing.
You played with my emotions too much with this movie. I was expecting talking dolphins, and I didn't get it.
So once again, Aaron's text messages just gave me life where he was like, did you know this was a sequel? Ready to Run 2. It's dolphins this time. I loved it. And I was like, yes, this is good. I'm okay with this.
I loved it too, and I put the movie on right away.
Only to be disappointed.
Yes. Disappointments and regrets, let me tell you.
Yeah. So,
regrets. Got the text message from Aaron and was like, ready to run, an unexpected delight. Let me watch this one.
He knows his audience, okay?
So it's my fault.
Yeah.
Yes. It's your fault. I had premonitions of Princess and the Frog during this movie.
So, yeah, I enjoyed this silly movie. And I'd love to hear more about it in the book.
Right. I was going to ask a question, and you kind of touched on the relationships between, like, Adam and Zachary. But if you were Vicky, who would you choose? Because, to be honest with you, I would choose Zachary. I feel like he changed the most during this
movie. Yeah, he changed for me. I think Adam was a sweetheart. And like I said, I liked the writing for his character, but the acting was just so monotone that I was like, is he high this entire time? I'm not sure. He's also meant to be, like, super intellectual. That's how, like, he gets along with his sister at first. He, like, talks about how he's going to Harvard early and, like, wants to write his thesis about how dolphins communicate and, like, all of their arguments, whatever that nice word for that is based off, like, Misha Barton's character is more feely with her poems and her writing and doesn't understand why Adam can't just, like, let something be magical. Why do you have to figure it out all the time? And he's like, because I'm a scientist. So it was just, it was a strange environment, I guess, for these conversations to be in when they're, like, 16-ish. I mean, I guess they're supposed to be, like, closer to 18-ish, but they don't act like it at all. So, yeah, it was just odd, and, yeah, I liked the idea. The character writing for Adam was better, but Zachary had a better arc.
Mm. Aaron, who would you choose?
I mean, the question is, would I choose the boyfriend who was shitty all year, but then decides to not be shitty in the last few days that I'm here on vacation, or the boy who is nice the entire time but has plans for the future? I would choose, I mean, probably all right, the harbor master, right? Like,
tough but fair, yes.
I think I just go for the brooding character with trauma. Which I guess that's what this is telling me.
Oh, yeah, and actually the little sister and Vicky have that conversation at one point. She's like, I have a question. I'm torn between these two boys. And the sister's like, I'm your little sister, and I think I'm aromantic. Like, what do you want from me? And she's like, you should make a pro-con list. This guy is rich and cute. And this guy has a plan for his future and is smart. So make a choice. And she's like, thanks. That's super not helpful.
But one guy's already rich. The other one could possibly be rich in the future. This but is true. One's already rich. I guess he's not now that his family is...
He's rich for killing dolphins.
Yeah, I was going to say, his family business is kind of dead now. So
yeah, it's like, but he destroyed his business for you, so...
Yeah. That's romantic to me.
Yeah, there you go. Self-destruction is real sexy.
In the movie, I don't know who I would pick. I think... As an adult, you pick Adam.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
As when I was watching this movie the first time, I didn't like either one of them.
That's fair.
And that's because Zachary in the book is life. Okay? So, all right. Well, okay. First, I want to get into fashion. Then I'm going to get into book. Okay. Because the book is real dark, y'all.
Okay.
So,
oh, okay.
Darker than this depressing-ass movie?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, absolutely. So the fashion, Misha Barton tries to be quirky and she's wearing like a fishnet, like a fisher net, like sweater and bucket hat. And like, I'm wearing something because I'm on the beach, but it's very like Vancouver or Nantucket or kind of like not Florida beach, right? And I don't know. It was just, she just didn't look cute, didn't look her age, I felt like, but then also she looked too young and too old at the same time, if I can say that. Like, she didn't look like she was 15, 16.
Mm. Yeah, I felt like if they had put her in brighter colors, it would have worked a lot better, but they were doing a lot of like earth tones and grays. And I don't know if that's to convey like a mood and you know, conflict and yeah, and not introvert, but just kind of like inclusive with yourself, you know, not participating with outside people. But like, yeah, it just didn't look great on her.
The hat, the hair, all that, she looked very young. She looked kind of like her sister. And then the outfits themselves looked like she was a divorcee walking along the beach, like, I don't know, to Gerard Butler or something like that. Like, it just didn't line up for me. So I didn't like it. The sister, and also, Andy, you pointed out that this was such a kind of a big cast and a cast with some chops, at least later on in their careers. The sister was also from the show Reba. She plays the little sister in the show Reba. Okay. Oh. The grandfather is a big time actor. He was older, obviously, and later on in his life. Misha Barton, Ryan Merriman, Jared Padalecki. Like, it's a star-studded cast. Mm-hmm. Or a cast that goes on to do a lot of different things. And it just fell a little flat for me. Okay, let's talk about the book. Does anyone have anything else to talk about fashion? I have nothing to say. I was not impressed.
Yeah, not really.
Her mermaid outfit was nice. It reminded all of the weird mermaid scenes, the like weird daydream, surreal scenes, reminded me they almost felt like they were cut and paste out of the 13th year. Like the music, yeah. Yes. The lighting.
Even the music. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I thought I was like having flashbacks. I'm like, did they just stick this scene in here and like Photoshop her in? Like, what happened here?
Yes.
But exactly. they was very reminiscent.
Any scene with a dolphin in it is the worst scene.
You didn't like the dolphins jumping around them in the water?
No, I can't say that was a highlight for me.
I feel like they were like CGI dolphins too when they were jumping.
Oh, they were. Okay. It was magical. Yeah. Like, there were clearly real dolphins in the set that like they would mm-hmm. interact with when they're just like petting or shaking a fin. But then they're like dolphins jumping around them. It's so bad. It's so yeah. funny.
What was crazy is when the alligator got up and started playing his little horn.
You know what? That threw me too.
Okay, so the book. So I read the book in probably elementary school. And it made a very lasting impression on me. So Vicky is about 15 in the book. Her and her family, entire family go. She has an older brother, John. That's important later because he is like a scientist with Adam. So that makes a lot more sense as to why she spends a lot of time with Adam. So she has an older brother, I think his name's John. And then it's the little sister, little brother, I think. Parents go as well. And they go to the island to visit the grandfather. And they all know that the grandfather has leukemia and that, like, they're there as a family until grandfather passes, kind of a thing. Like, they're there with him through the summer.
Oh.
And one of the first things that happens is they go to a funeral. This book is all about death, the whole thing. So they go to a funeral, and it's the funeral of, like, a commander. Commander Rodney, who's like a family friend. I've just pulled up the Wikipedia so I can get these names right. Okay, cool. And there's actually a third guy in this book. So there's Leo, there's Adam, and there's Zachary. Ooh. Leo is like super, he's kind of annoying. He's kind of like, oh, if you want to, we could go, blah, blah, blah. Are you sure, Vicky? Like, he's very kind of like unsure of himself, pretty low self-esteem, very blah. She does not like him. But he's kind of a steady Eddie. And he's like paying for dates, I'm sure. So anyway, so she's going on these dates. Then there's Zachary. And Zachary, so it actually ends up coming out that Colonel Rodney like passed away of some issues from when he was trying to save someone's life. And come to find out that he saved Zachary from a suicide attempt.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
Yes. Like pulled him out of the water. Mm-hmm. And so then there's like a lot of guilt and a lot of like dealing with that from Zachary. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that Zach had a friend that passed away, or the mom passed. Okay, maybe Zach's mom did pass away. Anyway, so like he's dealing with death. Zach is dealing with death. So then Zachary like can't hang and has his own trauma. So then he's just very troubled, right? We get a lot of scenes of Zachary kind of like not caring whether he lives or dies, which is a very interesting concept to me. And we see a scene of that in the movie in which he is kind of like speeding very quickly and playing chicken with another boat. And she's like, Misha Barton's like screaming at him, like, we have to, you know, turn, you know, and he's playing, it's a very dangerous game. And he does that all the time in the book, like constantly. He's doing that in the road. He's doing that on the boat. He's doing that with like, cause he doesn't care about anything. Cause he's Rust. So yes. So Vicky very much feels that like she can help him. And she, anyway, she's very like emotionally invested, and he's just very hot. He's very, very hot. And then also Vicky is friends and has this like kind of connection with Leo, because Leo's like a steady guy, and he takes her to the hospital a couple of times to get things for the grandfather, like blood transfusions and things like that. He's like always taking her, always helping her. Oh, Vicky, let me help you. Let's go here, blah, blah, blah. And like, he's just like kind and a nice guy. Of course she fucking hates him, but she also like uses him. And then there's Adam, who is like this very mysterious kind of guy, which is not the vibe that we got from Adam in the movie.
Oh, absolutely.
So
not.
He's very smart. No. He's intellectual. He's a little bit brooding. He's definitely got a mystery. And we come to find out, this is a series of books, actually.
I had no idea.
Yeah. It's different characters connect in different ways. There are different even storylines, because this author also wrote A Wrinkle in Time. So there are some people who kind of connect through the different universes as well. Zachary's one of them. Adam's one of them. So Adam, the summer before, got his like heart super broken and like ripped out of his chest. And so then he's like having trouble loving again, which is like one of my favorite fucking things, right? I love that shit. So I remember having a really hard time choosing one of them. I ultimately loved Zachary because I just love a bad boy. But then, very long story short, there's like this other whole segment of the movie where she meets this girl. This girl also dies. Anyway, I guess they didn't put it in here. A dolphin dies.
Jeez.
I know. Yeah, anyway, grandfather still dies in the book as well. And Vicky's like in a wave of darkness and like starts walking into the ocean, kind of a thing. And then Adam goes with her and helps the dolphins come around her. And then they cheer her up, and then she's cool. And then her and Adam end up together. So anyway, but not in this book, later in the books. So she ends up with Adam, in case you were wondering. And the book is super dark, which of course they weren't going to put on Disney Channel.
Yeah, it makes sense why they took out like a lot of the stuff they did.
Random kind of interjection. Just when you were talking about the grandfather being sick, that also reminded me. So in addition to like not, I guess not wanting to like overtly reference a specific religion, which I appreciate as someone that's not religious, like when I see certain things in movies, sometimes it confuses me because I'm like, oh, we're taking a big break here for me. But the grandfather is a reverend, and everyone refers to him as reverend, and we do see them like start to pray, like, you know, like grace over dinner or something, but the scene cuts out. But then I guess because they're trying to make it dark but not as dark as the book, I guess, and trying to make it family friendly, Vicky realizes he's like super sick when he's like, I just need my pills, and she reads the pills and he goes, take for pain as needed, and she's like so horrified that he might have pain that needs management as an 85-year-old,
and it's just ibuprofen.
Yeah, and he's like, she's like, what's wrong, and he's like, I have leukemia, and she's like, what, and I'm like, I'm sorry, you got that from a take for pain as needed ibuprofen bottle?
I thought that was funny.
That
too.
Was so silly, and I was like, oh no, guys, not incorrect. Oh, no. Incorrect tone. And then also, like, I mean, I understand when you are A, he's old, and B, very sick, cancer is debilitating no matter what, but I just felt like it was very strange when he dies. She's like, it's because you overexerted yourself, I'm so sorry, it's all my fault. And he's like, it's okay, it's just the leukemia. It has nothing to do with the fact that I exerted myself. I'm like, boy, you were excited and on a boat for like 2 hours today. It's not like you were jump roping. I don't understand.
I don't know. I mean, that's a pretty common trope in movies. Vicky annoys me because it's not all about you, Vicky.
Yeah.
And she is annoying in the book and the movie.
Fair.
She's that annoying in both.
Okay. But like they had a couple of lines like that throughout the movie, like when Zachary's telling her about how his mom passed. Like, you could see in her face, like, she's not really... Well, Misha Barton's not the best actress, so I don't know if this is what she was going for. But she's, like, not really, like, into it, almost, like, what he's saying. And he just goes, enough about this boring conversation. Tell me about your year. And I'm like, your mom's died.
That's why I thought it was going to be, like, a shitty boyfriend joke trope thing, where he's like, I was just trying to gain sympathy. Mom's fine. But no, apparently mom is dead, and he just... never deals with that.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The book is very, the author is very religious, and she writes a lot of things. Kind of, I mean, I don't want to say it's like C.S. Lewis because that's very different, but a lot of C.S. Lewis's books have very religious overtones.
Yeah.
All of Madeline L'Engle's books have a lot of very religious overtones, and it's very overtly like, God will save you kind of a thing.
Well, these dolphins cured her depression, so.
Right. So, like, looking back, I see that as someone who was just an avid reader, kind of a anxious kid, and then also just, like, did not relate to people her own age a lot of times. Vicky was incredible because Vicky was a poet, and she was 15 and, like, had these three different guys, and they're all very different, and, like, she could be interesting. Vicky's so not interesting looking back. But anyway, to me at the time, she was interesting. All these guys are interesting. They're all like super into her. Like, this is what it's going to be like. And it was actually. But yeah, I think I started to reread this book again as an adult.
I enjoyed your highlights.
I don't know. Vicky's just very...
I like
it
dolphins.
It is very difficult to get through. Yes, she's very annoying. And she doesn't care about other people. And she could not give two shits unless you're like vying for... She's just very boy crazy. And so I feel like she's kind of unlikable and unsympathetic. The guys are incredible. And I think that they're incredible in the book. And unfortunately, they were not as incredible in the movie. Which is probably why I did not care for the movie the first time.
You were here for the eye candy, and you did not get the eye candy.
No, I don't even think they're that cute. I mean, they are, but I don't think they're that cute. They were certainly not what I had in mind. Although Ryan Merriman is pretty much the exact depiction of Adam. So, like, that makes a lot of sense. I don't know. I don't think that Jared Padalecki was broody enough. And I really think they should have had Leo, because that would have been an interesting dichotomy. Mm-hmm. But anyway, there probably wasn't enough time. Again, it's the 90-minute movie thing that we end up with so much.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of my take on A Ring of Endless Light. It is a little preachy. It's a little religious-y. He's also a reverend in the book as well. And they talk about God a couple of times. And it can get a little preachy. But it's also, it's a very interesting kind of story about, like, there can be so much life, and then there can also be so much death in the world.
I'll take that.
Mm-hmm.
I think books like that are really good at a certain time. So, like, just because you're rereading it now and being like, oh, it's kind of cringe, like, you're no longer the audience. Like, it was there for That's you true. To, like I said, just kind of imprint upon, you know, have all these, this girl that could be anything to you, and all these guys that were super about her that could be super about you. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. I mentioned Twilight. I think it's the same kind of dynamic. And especially, like, when it is a religious author or something of a religious work. Like, I think that just makes sense. I'm glad that you enjoyed it, and it might be fun going back through with a critical eye. But that doesn't mean it wasn't good when you read it when you were young, you know?
Yeah, and one of the poems, one of the lines, or the last line is, like, something about, like, a pure and endless ring of light, which I always just thought was just this really beautiful picture, and I really liked reading about that. I did just open up my copy of the book. Don't worry, I own it. and it's copywritten in 1980, which I think, so it was kind of older then.
Yeah.
When it was older when I was reading it, and then it's very old for when this movie came out. 21 years later or something, right?
Something like that, 21, 22. Okay.
Go. Can you do me a solid and see if you can find that passage that's that buck wild thing that the kid says at the very end?
And then the first, it's, you know how it has, like, I don't know if kids these days know this, but like, it has cataloged, like, what the book is about at the beginning, like, on this first couple of pages. Number one, death, fiction. Number two, dolphins, fiction. I'm 100% sure. I tried to look up dolphins, found this book, and was like, that's it. That's what I'm reading. I guarantee you.
Number three, a magical voodoo man who curses a prince.
That or I remember reading A Wrinkle in Time in the fifth grade, so I also might have been like, Wrinkle in Time, loved it. What else she got? Dolphin book? I'm here. Yeah.
I kind of like that your love for dolphins led you to this book and not the other way around.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at the back of the book here, and there is definitely this whole thing about, like, it's like a blur. She's not making sense. So she's like, there was no meaning to me, to Adam and me. He was right, wrong, right place, wrong time. Like, it's like poetry, but also very stream of consciousness and very confusing. And anyway, and then the last words, it's so cringy. The last words are, I called you and I came, he said. That's it.
What?
He came and it was over. That's,
That's the fan fiction, okay?
I moved toward him and we were both caught and lifted in the light and I felt his arms around me and he held me close. And that's it. So, like, they don't even technically end up together at the end. I just know they do. So, yeah. Talking about the dolphin, Basil, Norberta, and Nord. And then they were gone too, flashing out to sea, their great resilient pewter bodies spraying off dazzles of light, pure and endless light.
Sure.
Yep. So then she wasn't depressed anymore. I watched them until they disappeared into the horizon, and then I turned and swam into shore. That's it. You just got to go out and find some dolphins, and then that'll cure your depression.
I mean, to be fair, I would be pretty happy if I had some dolphins just chilling.
True.
I'm going to be honest with you. If I was in the wild and just a group of dolphins showed up, it would freak me the fuck out. State your intention, sir.
I think dolphins can be a sign of peace. Anyway, dolphin book, dolphin movie. I'm ready to rate it. Anybody else?
Aaron, didn't talk at all in this episode.
Sorry, Aaron.
I'm good. I don't know what I would possibly add. It was a movie about dolphins. About a kid who lost his family fortune trying to impress a girl who ultimately doesn't pick him. And we don't get a resolution to that at all.
Yeah, he just disappears.
Yeah.
Right. There's no, we don't ever find out if the dad got arrested or...
Yeah, like, hey, they use drift nets and then they almost killed a kid. So
they just go, don't do that again.
Yeah.
Did this wind up on the list of feminist movies? Hopefully not.
Oh, that's a good question.
Probably not.
I mean, I don't know. This list is wild. So it has a quote-unquote strong female protagonist. So you never know.
No, she's not. She's the worst. Okay.
That did not stop them.
They're going to talk a lot of shit about the grandpa not supporting her. And
how he just dies on her? What the shit?
So while I'm looking for this really quick, I do just kind of want to ask the question, did you guys like this movie?
I did. I liked the movie. It was a bit more depressing than, you know, we've come to find with DCOMs for sure. I was expecting a more serious movie, but the storylines around death and everything were a lot. I didn't expect all of that in this movie, but overall, like, I did enjoy it. Except there is no talking dolphins.
No talking dolphins. Yeah, no, I'm the same. Like I kind of said after the recap, like, I can't point to anything about this movie that was necessarily good, but I watched it and I enjoyed it for reasons unknown. Might just be because it was camp. The bad acting, like, was hilarious to me. So probably not good for the correct reasons, but I did enjoy this movie.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
That's fair.
You know.
That's fair. No.
Dang.
It is not on our list of feminist
movies. I thought it was
going to
sneak in at number 6 or something stupid.
I was going to say top 10.
A girl overthrows the patriarchy.
There was more than one woman in here with a name, and one of them was a scientist. So, like, that was all this list needed, I thought.
To be fair, they do talk about something that's not a man. It's a dolphin.
Yeah.
But don't they just mean that the dolphins are humans reincarnated? Like, I kind of got that vibe as well.
I don't know. I thought there was that weird evolutionary aspect to it with the dolphins returning to the sea and her being like, yeah, because they're mermaids. And I don't know. There was a lot of weird wanting to be imagery that I think just didn't connect properly.
Yeah.
It felt a little weird dolphin culty.
You joined the Ring of Endless
Dolphins
Light.
Dolphins used to be on land, and then they chose to go back to the sea. And if we join them, we too can swim in the pool of infinite light. And
our dolphin overlords.
The little kid in the end is like, do you think that you were blind and you were blind your whole life and then you died and you went to heaven and you could finally see and how that would be overwhelming? So then if you see and you die, then you gain like a secret other sense that you never knew existed. And I was like, what the fuck is this kid talking about?
Literally.
That just, oh my God, that reminded me of my favorite poorly delivered line by Misha Barton, though. When they're talking about, again, weird now that I'm thinking about it, that they speak about evolution so much in this movie with, again, huge religious undertones, possibly overtones. But when they talk about how they, like, transformed, I guess, back into, like, sea animals or sea creatures, Adam's like, yeah, it's so weird when you're, like, touching a fin. It's actually like a paw because they had hand muscles and they just don't use them anymore. And she just goes, wow, if I had no hands, I couldn't write. And he's just like, shit, son, that's deep. Like... That was one of my favorite stupid lines. I was like, oh my God, yes.
It's young teenage love, you
know? Oh, man. Like Dakota said, she's lucky she's hot. Because, like, there was zero personality there.
I'm on the IMDb. If you read the book, don't watch the movie. That's basically... people either love the movie or they're like, do not watch this. Definitely not like the book.
If you watch the movie, you probably have no desire to read the book, so... That's the real Ring of Endless Light.
This is clumsy. Other comments have covered how poorly the Disney made-for-TV flop reflects the thoughtful and emotional children's novel on which it was based. Interesting. It's sad to see how little care went into this piece. Damn, IMDb. That's a user review. Don't worry, it wasn't IMDb's opinion. It does not have good reviews, though.
Shocking.
Here are some other things. Kirsten Storms was originally cast as Vicky Austin, but they changed it at the last minute and picked Misha Barton, I guess. Also, Aaron made a point, and I don't see this anywhere, but anybody else kind of think that the house was probably also the one from Rip Girls?
I did not.
I didn't notice that.
But I did like the house. The few shots that we saw, that huge library, was very cute, but also very clearly a set.
Yeah.
Yeah, the shots of the external of the house, I'm like 80% sure that that's the same house from Rip Girls.
Nice. I did not make that connection.
Yeah. Neither.
But I can't disprove it. Also, just because Dakota was looking on IMDb and I have done this in the past, I Rotten Tomatoes'd it. It has a score of 56.
That's bad, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Two of the top reviews. One is bad, one is labeled good. But it's still a silly review. The bad one says, director Greg Beeman does as much as is required with the simplified script, which has totally eliminated the contemplative and edgier facets of the book. So that sounds like what Dakota also said, where they took a lot out. And then the supposedly good review is one sentence, and it says, environmental teen drama has positive themes and dolphins.
Okay. I mean, yeah.
I mean, it's right. It does have positive themes and dolphins.
At least it's not a lie like the feminist list is usually is.
I'm looking up the people who, like, adapted it. These people haven't done very much. Okay. Oh, one of them did Tiger Cruise and Ride on Track.
I haven't seen either
so
of those.
So might see their work. Oh, those are
future DCOMs.
The quotes. Zachary after pulling the other two out of water. Man, don't do that to me.
That was also a very overdramatic line. Jared Padalecki was just like, this is my one chance to show emotion in this movie. Don't do that to me.
Bless his little heart, Jared Padalecki. Yeah. Okay. I'm ready to rate it.
Yeah, I think we've done this movie to death.
Yes, same.
I am going to rate this one a 3 out of 10.
Wow, okay.
Oh.
I think it would be higher if I had not read and loved the book, but it's all bad. The writing, the book is amazing. The writing here, awful. The actors, awful. The costumes, nothing to write home about. The CGI, awful. The grandfather and the relationship with Vicky and the poetry was the best part.
Oh, yeah. Agreed.
Also, the twinkling stars that might be lightning bugs.
Check your text messages. I'm just saying that. I'm going to put that out there.
Chris, I am looking at the picture right now, and you sent a totally black screen with one speck of light on it. This tells me nothing.
There's two specks. There's okay, two specs. Chris, I'm just saying that.
I don't know.
This is hatred at its finest.
Okay, I'm going to give this one 3 out of 10. What could I give it? 3 out of 10. I'm thinking. I don't care enough. I don't know. This is very unremarkable. Okay, 3 out of 10 poetry books that Vicky writes. Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
Okay. You know, after all the hatred that I got, it's not going to affect my rating. I did enjoy watching this movie. I do think being under the influence might have helped that a little bit, especially with scenes of, you know, dolphins turning into humans and kissing mermaids. But as we've said a lot, the acting was really poor in here, and there was a lot of imagery and things that they tried to use that just didn't hit. So I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10 depressing storylines within this movie.
But not as depressing as the book.
True.
Come on, go harder.
I have one more thing I'd like to add.
Yes.
Why
yes.
in the cover art for this movie is Ryan Merriman in the front? And there we get like the tiniest speck of Misha Barton in the back. Like the dolphin is further closer to the camera than she is. It's baffling.
He was probably the bigger star. The dolphin was probably the bigger star, you know?
That's back when it was Sinbad.
Before the recast, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I actually was thinking about that too. I was like thinking about the poster, and Ryan Merriman is front and center. He takes up like 2/3 of this poster. And it's also like a scene that we don't see. They're both swim at some point, but they're never in swimming gear. They're in like scuba gear and or they're drowning actively. So like there's no like ever fun. They're swimming through the water with dolphin scenes that is seen on this poster.
Also, he pulls off a scuba suit, hands it to her and is like, that should fit. What? There's no way that this guy has this whole experiment going on. And he's like, you can come along and get in the water and actually, like, that's not part of the scientific process. Like, she could really.
He was still in the fuck around stage. He hadn't gotten to the find out yet phase.
He's an intern and she's his intern.
And because no one is paid, there are no rules.
Got a 3 out of 10 and a 5 out of 10.
All right, Andy, what you got?
Oh man, I am thinking. I'm flopping between a 4 and a 5 because again, I surprisingly enjoyed this movie, but I don't think I enjoyed it for any of the correct reasons. And like, it wasn't campy enough that I'm like, yeah, this will be really fun to rewatch. I'll just be like, I just need something dumb. And I'm like, maybe I'll need that as like background noise. So I'm going to go with a 4, although I always, like, I get nervous when I rate things low because I don't do it very often, so I think 4 is what I gave Rip Girls, and I liked this again, more than Rip Girls.
Me too.
But it was just bad. Like I said, there was nothing I could really, like, pinpoint to say, like, this, the movie did successfully, like, nah, it was just a train wreck, but it was watchable. So let's see. 4 out of 10 pills you take for pain as needed.
Responsibly.
That's a lot of pills.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I would add here that hasn't already been said. It was kind of a train wreck, in my opinion. This brings up what I've touched on before, that I think that if Disney has a movie where they go all out and bring in big stars, that it will almost always fail. Like, they don't know how to use talent, at least in the Disney Channel original movies. And I think this movie goes on that list of they got some bigger names and they didn't coach them on how to act the scenes, and it just kind of all fell to pieces. So I'm giving this 3 out of 10 hand jobs that Zachary wanted to get but didn't.
What the hell?
What? Oh my goodness.
Unexpected plot.
He's probably not wrong. So what is that? A 3 plus a 3 plus a 4 plus a 5.
Yep,
right?
So that's 15, okay. Which means, let's see, 3.75 rounded to 4 is our average. That sounds right.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Fair.
All right. Wow. We didn't like this one. All right, guys. So that's our review of A Ring of Endless Light, the TV movie. And also my hot takes on the book. So go read the book. Watch the movie if you dare. Join us in a couple of weeks. I think we've got a roundup coming up. Is that right? We do.
Ring of Endless Light was our 40th movie. So yeah, wow. we gotta do a roundup, which means I have to do a lot of math again. but it'll be fun. I do enjoy these roundups. I hope you guys do too. That'll be our next episode coming out in 2 weeks.
All right. So in a couple of weeks, we'll do a roundup. And then just for curiosity's sake, what's the next actual DCOM? Does anyone know?
I just Googled. It's called The Scream Team. And I don't know what that is.
Me either.
I feel like I've seen it. But I couldn't tell you anything about it.
All right. We'll find out.
We're heading into uncharted territory. Kind of like when you go on a dolphin. Yeah. Anyway. We hope you enjoyed A Ring of Endless Light. Join us in a couple of weeks. We're going to do a fun roundup, and then we'll be back at you. So, bye.
Bye.
Bye.